Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
All right. Hello, everyone. In case you haven't met, my name is Larissa. Most of you have known me for a really long time, and we're good pals. But in case we haven't, I'm Larissa. Very nice to meet you. So today we're starting a new sermon series on Esther, and I'm really, really excited about it. I mean, if you know me, you know I get excited about things anyways. Esther is an incredible book of the Bible for numerous reasons, and I really believe that God is going to teach us something tangible, relevant, and meaningful through the book of Esther. But I'm not actually going to spend any time today telling you what I think those things are. Which is kind of weird, right? Normally when we start a new sermon series, we introduce a book, we kind of say, this is the big idea. I'm not going to do any of that today. In fact, I'm not even going to read anything from Esther or comment on Esther at all today, which is like, well, what am I going to actually talk about? You know, we're really used to our Sunday worship service routine, right? We come to church. We have worship, announcements, scripture reading, sermon. If you're like me and my husband, there's a little stalling in between those two. The worship at the end, maybe grabbing a cup of coffee, saying hi to some friends, asking for prayer, etc. Right? We're really used to that, really the same routine every week. And we're all very used to listening to a sermon, right? We do a lot of listening, which is good. Listening is a great exercise, and if you're never listening, that's probably a bad thing. That is a problem. Listening is a great exercise, and it's often a really necessary part of learning. But something we often forget in church is that we can learn in other ways. So I am not going to tell you what we're going to learn from Esther. You are going to learn by engaging with the book of Esther in several creative ways over the next few weeks. In case you weren't already aware that I like to try new things, you're going to learn that pretty quickly because we are going to try some new things with this sermon series. Hopefully not too crazy, you know, hopefully you're not like running for the hills. Hopefully they're familiar enough, but maybe just not something that you're used to doing at church. But like I said, we learn in different ways, right? And we're not like throwing out anything that's really important. We're going to be reading the Bible together. We're going to be learning about what God's saying. We're going to be praying. We're going to be worshiping. We're not like throwing anything out. We're just trying to dive into the Word in a different way. Because there's lots of different ways to learn. So we're going to engage with Esther together as a community of learners. And when I say community of learners, I mean that we are all learning together, right? Some of us may know more than others, like the staff. We've all gone to school and learned about the Bible specifically. So we have some extra knowledge there. So even though I might have a little more knowledge than you, and I mean, maybe you've gone and gone to Bible college as well. That's awesome. No matter where you are in your knowledge of the Bible, though, we are a community of learners where we are all learning together. And you might say something to me where I'm like, oh, I've never thought of it that way. And then I can then learn. We are a community of learners together. And we're going to learn through three different methods in the next few weeks. We're going to read the Bible, right? Which is something that is, it's like, yes, okay, we can read the Bible. We can do that. We're going to do it through drama. There are going to be some dramatic readings through Esther. And we're going to do it through discussion. I trust all of you know how to talk to somebody else. And if not, we're going to teach you how. We are going to have a great time, and I'm going to explain how it's all going to work. So through these three methods, you're really going to be engaging with the characters, the story, and the meaning of Esther. So this is something, it is, I will confess, I'm requiring a little bit more of you than just sitting back in your seat and listening, right? I'm requiring you to read, and I'm asking you to read, and I'm asking you to discuss this with other people. It's all going to be here on Sunday services so that, you know, we're not asking like for an extra time commitment besides the reading at home. But it's all things that I know you can do. So the first, I'm going to go through those three different things, reading, drama, and discussion. And I'm just going to give you an idea of what the next few weeks are going to look like. That's really all I'm doing today. Like I said, I'm not actually going into the book of Esther because I don't want to tell you what it's about. I want you to discover for yourself what Esther is about. And maybe you've read it before, and I want you to try to come at it with fresh eyes. So Andrew is my helper for today, and he has a box. Andrew, pull out. I just want the booklets for now. So anything that's not the booklets. I have put Esther into a nice little booklet for you to take home. Everybody gets one. And this booklet is the book of Esther straight from the Bible with a few adjustments for me just to add some more dialogue, some more like talking, because we're going to do a dramatic presentation of it, right? So it's all stuff straight from the Bible with a couple of added lines in there, you could say, for the characters. So I'm giving you these, and what I want you to do with these is, actually, let's go over the first page together. Andrew, can you come and hand me just the first, or just hand me one? Thank you, honey. Okay, let's go over this first page together. This will also be available in digital form for those of you who can, that works better for you. Will be digital. Okay, so let's just talk through the format of this book. If we go to the first page, and I know not all of you quite have one yet, the first thing that we see is the setting. So I'm just going to read this out loud for you. The Jews, this is the setting of the story of Esther. The Jews have been under Babylonian captivity for many years. Most Jews were living in one of 27 Babylonian provinces under the king's rule. So this is the ancient kingdom of Persia. And actually, there were Jews that had gone back to Palestine, where Jerusalem was, Israel, that whole, their home. But there were also a lot of Jews that were still sort of in this Babylonian captivity. The king's royal palace is in the city of Susa. So that's the capital of this country. Country/empire, right? It's this big thing. There's 127 provinces, and Susa is the capital. And that's where most of the story takes place. And this is in, I'm not sure of the exact date actually when Esther was written. I didn't look that up, but the Babylonian captivity was from 598 to 538 BC or BCE. So this is probably at least 500 years before Jesus was born. So this is pre-gospel. This is still in the Old Testament, and that's kind of the place where they're at with God in this. So King Xerxes is the king in Persia at the time, and he was a relatively new king when the events take place. This is his third year of reigning as king. So now let's go through the characters. So we have King Xerxes. He's the king of Babylon, and he's often drunk and angry. He's definitely not a God-fearing man, or maybe there were Persian Babylonian gods, but he just does what he wants. And he likes to, you know, be opulent and drunk. That's what he does. The next character we see is Queen Vashti. She's the first king under Xerxes' reign, but she is quickly deposed. So we do not see her for very long. We have Mordecai, who's a Jew who lives in Susa with his cousin, Esther. Mordecai raised Esther when her parents died. So even though they're cousins, Mordecai is a father figure for Esther. Esther is another Jew who lives with Mordecai, her cousin and father figure. And Esther quickly becomes the second queen. So Queen Vashti is deposed and Esther becomes queen. Haman, the villain, a noble who is second to the king. He hates Mordecai and the Jews. We have Bigthana and Teresh, or Bigthan and Teresh. They are, sorry, that's also not supposed to be officers, or offers, officers that guard the king's gate who conspire to kill King Xerxes. If you can't tell, I did not proofread this before I printed it. Zeresh is Haman's wife. And then there's various nobles, eunuchs, and attendants. So I just wanted to get that there so that you understand that's kind of the setting, and that's the list of characters. So if you ever get confused while you're reading this, you can refer back to that, to the setting and the cast of characters. And then if you just go through, you're just going to be reading the book of Esther. You'll notice some of them are just like normal paragraphs like you would read in a book. And then sometimes, like on the first page there, we see Xerxes in italics and then a colon. That means that that's his line. He's speaking. And you'll notice that through the rest of the book. So what I'm asking you to do this week is to read the first five chapters. That's from page 3 to page 18. So that's what, 16 pages in a week? That's less than 3 pages a day. All right, so you can do this. If you're somebody who's like, I am not a reader, yes, you can read. You know, we teach, you learned how to read years and years ago. You can do this. And I want you to read actively. And when I say read actively, I mean if you get to a word that you don't understand or recognize, look it up. Don't just skip past it, right? Make sure that you understand everything. Try to slow down as you read it. Don't just like, you know, skim through it, but really try to read it and imagine the setting, the characters. Really try to enter the story. Notice what you learn about the characters, the story, and the meaning, and then write it in the margins, or highlight it, or underline it, anything that you want. I wanted to print these out for you because I know a lot of you are probably uncomfortable with writing in your Bible. I want you to write in these. When you read, you should have a pen or a pencil with you, and anytime you come across something that's interesting, you could underline it, you could put a star next to it, you could write a question next to it, you could say something, because we're going to be discussing these later, and if we all come and we don't remember anything, any of the questions or things that stood out to us, and we didn't write them down, we're going to have to kind of catch up, you know, when we get to our discussion. So read actively. When you have questions, when you see something that's, even things that are unsettling, there's some things in the book of Esther that are unsettling. I'm not very comfortable with everything in here. If that's the same with you, write it down. Let's talk about it. So things that, like I said, things that are confusing, surprising, unsettling, or any questions that you have, write it down in any way that makes sense to you. You could have highlighter, it could be, you know, pencil markings, whatever works for you. And then next week, we are all going to bring these back to church. Do not lose it. This is your copy with your notes. Bring it back to church. And like I said, if you feel like you're not a reader, you are. Reading is fun and imaginative, and it can be really enjoyable. And I promise you, this is not a dry book. This is a very interesting book to read. But you do have to engage with it. Reading is not fun if you're just skimming through it, or you're like, oh, this is a homework assignment. You have to really enter into it to really enjoy what you're reading. You have to give it a chance. If you feel like you don't have time in the day, you do, right? 5 chapters to read by next week. That's 3 pages a day. That's at the most, hopefully, not going to take you much longer than 15 minutes. I know for me, I read and I tried to read through really slowly, and I got through 1 page in about a minute. So I think that we can all achieve, you know, 15 minutes or less a day. Hopefully I'm not like pushing this too hard. Just read it, guys. Just read it. If you have a hard time slowing down and focusing, if that's something, like if it's really hard for you just to like really focus in, I know it's hard for me with a smartphone now. My attention span is like whoosh, totally shrunk, so I get that. Here's some ideas. You can grab a favorite drink and sit outside. you know, kind of separate yourself, put all the devices inside, you know, computers, TVs, phones, get to a spot where you're just enjoying, you know, being in nature or whatever it might be. That's a great way to focus. One way that I really focus is I put on headphones that are, you know, attached to my computer, and I listen to, like, ambient music, music that has no words. And if you have Spotify, there's some really great Spotify playlists for focusing. I listen to that, and then I'm like, zoom. I'm, like, totally in the zone. So that's a great way to do it. Another really great way is to read it out loud. You have to focus to read out loud, right? So if you notice that you're, like, going through it too fast, just stop and read it out loud, and that can help you get into it. Another thing you can do is imagine what the characters look like and sound like. Imagine their facial expressions, their hair, clothing, voices. Imagine the setting. What does the building or city look like? Is it day or night? Is it hot or cold? Are there smells in the air? You know, trying to imagine the place that you're in can really make you want to dive into it a little bit more. So those are just some ideas. You don't have to do any of those. All you have to do is read the first five chapters. So then next week, we're going to do a dramatized presentation. And that's why I said I wrote some more dialogue in here, because the original Book of Esther has mostly narration with a couple of lines that are said, but I wanted there to be more, right? I want it to be a little bit more fun to watch. So I added some of those in. Now, luckily, you all don't have to perform. You all have to read, but you don't all have to perform if you don't want to. So I've actually asked a few people who are going to be helping out, and there's a couple more people that I'm going to ask today. If you're really, really interested in it, then we can talk about it too. But let's talk about it after the service. So this will be an opportunity to see the story come to life even more, right? We get to imagine it ourselves when we read it, and then we get to see it come to life. And I want you, like I said, bring your books with you. Write down anything else you notice as you're watching the presentation. Write down anything that surprised you, maybe something that happened differently than you thought it was going to. It's another chance to become engrossed within the story. So that will happen on next Sunday. We'll go through the first five chapters. We'll present them in this dramatized form. And then we're going to go into the discussion. So it's something we haven't done for a long time. We used to actually do this more, where we'd kind of split up and do some small group discussions right here in the sanctuary during the service. And we're going to discuss what we observed. This will be a time to ask the questions that you've written down, to share what you noticed, what stuck out to you, even the things that you might find concerning. There will be, I've assigned a few specific people as well to be the discussion leaders, but they're not there to answer your questions. And they might not even ask many questions. So the idea of these discussions is that it's a time for all of you to discuss with one another, to get closer at what the Book of Esther is actually saying. And so the discussion leader is not just going to ask questions that you then answer. The idea is that we're all discussing, and something that I say maybe will like spark an idea in your mind, and then you will say it back to me, and then that will spark an idea in somebody else's mind, and we're all building off of each other. It's not like a teacher asks a question that gets answered. Teacher asks another question. It's this whole discussion. You know the phrase, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's where, like, if each of us read this and then we wrote down everything we thought and we amassed it into this big article, we wouldn't even get close to what we could understand and what we could find out by talking together and combining all of those things rather than keeping them just kind of separate and adding them up. So the guides, I'm going to give you just a little bit about what those discussion guides are going to be doing, just so that you can kind of wrap your brain around it. They are going to pose meaningful questions that will help get to the discussion, like really get to like what's important in it. Because how many of you have been a part of a discussion and then they're like, okay, well, let's talk about this. And everybody's like, I don't want to be the first one to start. And so there'll be a discussion leader that can help get things moving. They will guide the discussion back to Esther if it gets too far off track, because how many of you like to go on bunny trails or tangents, right? That's me. And so the discussion will be, leader will be like, that's a great thought. Let's come back to Esther. The discussion leader will also help correct misguided understandings of the text. So if any of you, hopefully not, but if any of you is like, Esther was an alien, straight up, she was an alien, then the discussion guide could be like, where do you see the Bible saying that Esther was an alien? And then if you are not able to say, okay, where that is in the book of Esther, then we all kind of have to acknowledge Esther was not an alien, right? So that the discussion leader will help you with that. On that note, the discussion leader is also going to help you if you make a claim. A claim is like when you say, so this happened or this means this, then the discussion leader might say, that's a really interesting point. Can you show me somewhere in the book of Esther that where you got that from? Because often we like to say, oh, this is true in a discussion, but it's not always based on what we're actually reading. And so it's a little bit more, again, we're asking a little bit more of you. We're asking you to know what you think and have a good reason for it, right? Because, I mean, how many of us in our society today have a lot of opinions, but we don't always have, like, good reasons or good evidence behind that? And so it's not, like, really, really tricky, and they're not going to, like, you know, like, have this huge hammer, and if you can't find something, they're like, then it's false, you know? You are kicked out of the discussion. It's nothing like that. We're just really trying to understand what the book means, right? And so we always want to bring it back to what we're actually reading. So to give you an example of the claims, I gave you the alien one. It can be something that simple. Let's think of the Gospels. So the book of Mark, if I came to you in a discussion and I was like, Jesus had purple hair, that is an easy claim to refute in the sense that we don't see it in the Bible, right? It's not there. The Bible never says his hair is purple, so there's no reason to believe that. But there are also claims that are a little bit more complicated. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of, like, theories of atonement. When Jesus died for us, he atoned, he made this sacrifice for us, and there's lots of different ways to think about it, and lots of people have different ideas about what actually happened when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. One of those theories is, or one of those kind of explanations or theologies is called the ransom theory of atonement, and that is, a ransom is like when somebody gets kidnapped, and then somebody has to pay to be able to get them back. And so the idea is that the humankind was held captive and Jesus paid the price, right? So I could read Mark and say, well, when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying our ransom. And then the discussion leader might say, oh, that's a really interesting point. Where in Mark does it say that? Like, how do you find that? How did you come to that conclusion? And then I could point to Mark 10:45 that says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then I would have some evidence there. That doesn't necessarily mean that other points of view or other theories of the atonement are wrong, but that's a point in evidence for it. The beautiful thing about discussion is what I already shared. You know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and it's so important. All of your voices are going to be so important within these discussions. I know that for many of you, sitting with a group of people and sharing your reflections on a book of the Bible could be really scary, but you really have nothing to lose but your pride, which, let's face it, we could probably do with a little bit less pride anyways. And in this community, your voice matters. And I promise you, joining this community, remember that community of learners, and sharing your voice is going to be so much more rewarding than any of the negative outcomes that could happen, such as, you know, losing your pride a little bit. Maybe you say something and you're like, oh, that didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Like, that's okay. There's grace, you know? And a very important part of this is that these discussions are not debates. We're not trying to, there's no person no person should be trying to win, right? The goal of these discussions is not winning, right? In a debate or an argument, somebody's trying to win and say, the way that I think about this or my opinion is the right one. That's not the point of these discussions. The point of the discussions is to understand better the book of Esther. And we do that better when we're learning together. After we finish the discussion, we'll still have time to like personally reflect and praise the Lord through worship and through communion. So there won't be a sermon next week. We'll come, we'll do the worship, we'll do the dramatic reading, we'll do the discussions, and then we'll end with worship. I know that it's so different than from what we normally do, but I really do believe that there are so many ways to learn, and I think these will be really engaging and fun ways to learn. Again, it requires a little more of you, but I think you'll find it really rewarding as well. So these are some of the main sort of instructions I want you to take away this week. I know this is also such a weird sermon, right? Because I'm not like expounding on a text. I feel like I'm kind of doing a teacher thing, right? I'm saying, this is how we're going to like go through this next section. But here are the main instructions I want you to take away as we're kind of thinking about this next week, what we're doing, reading through the book. The first is God has something to tell us through the book of Esther. What is it? Can we discover it together? That's the first thing. We have to remember that God has something to tell us. Second thing is, take time to engage with the book. Be an active reader. Third, there is a whole world in the book of Esther that is in some ways different from our reality and in some ways the same. Let's try to enter the world of Esther, right? Let's try to really enter into that world and engage deeply. And the fourth thing is your participation and voice in our community matters, right? In the scripture read earlier, Mordecai tells Esther, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And that's the name of our sermon series, "For Such a Time as This." And you'll find that to be a theme in Esther. But I also feel like it's a really good theme for us today, right? For such a time as this. Who knows, but we have not been placed where we are in life for such a time as this. I just had, I emailed this choir because I really love singing and I really love choir. And I emailed them saying, "Hey, I really would like to audition for your choir. Our audition's open." And they're like, "Yes, we're at the very end, but we have an audition on Monday and an audition on Wednesday. And I'm going out of town this week." And so I emailed them back and I was like, "Is there any way I could audition a little bit later?" And they said, "Unfortunately not. We have to just chalk this up to bad timing." And it was really hard for me. It was really disappointing. But I'm trying to remember that what might seem like bad timing might be for such a time as this, right? What might feel like the wrong circumstance in life, what might feel like the last thing that you wanted might be for such a time as this. And as we are reading the book of Esther, let's be that serious about it, right? Let's be that earnest about it, that what God is trying to teach us is for such a time as this. Amen. We have come to the book of Esther, and who knows but that the reason might be providential. Maybe God has placed this book in our lives at this time for a reason. Maybe he has come to share with us some way in which we are stepping into the heavenly timing of our calling. Who knows? Let's read the book together and find out. Let's be a part of that community of learners. Engage deeply. Because when we're engaging deeply with the Word of God, we're engaging deeply in relationship with him. Right? I do a lot of Bible reading that is like just kind of getting through it, right? I'm reading 2 Chronicles right now, and there's a lot of, I have to confess, not super engaged reading. And I want more than that. I want more than that in my relationship with God. So let's engage deeply. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are in such a time as this, whatever that might be in each of our lives. I thank you for each of our circumstances. And I thank you that you are giving us opportunities to rise up to the challenge, to rise up and more deeply engage with you and with our world. I pray that you would help us to engage fully, both in the word and in our relationship with you and in our relationship with others as we discuss this book together. Give us the patience and the focus to be able to read through the first 5 chapters this week and then the next 5 chapters the week after that. God, whatever you have for us in this time, we want it. We receive it. We ask for it. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us in such a time as this. We praise you, and we enter into the next few weeks with expectation, with excitement, and with willing hearts. We love you, Lord.